The Passover is something that is referred to at this time of year. There's some people have Passover meals, they have Passover services, they have all different kinds of things you'll hear about. But we're going to look at both the Passover for originally, but also how it applies today and kind of what that means for us. And part of what the applying of the blood of the Lamb is kind of the subtitle is, what does it mean to know all this stuff compared to knowing all this and actually applying the blood of the Lamb? And that's what these guys had to do in order for it to make things right. And that's what we have done, hopefully, if you're in here today as a believer. So, but let's get into the Word of God. Father, we praise you in the name of Jesus. We're exalting you, Father. You're the Son. You sent your Son to be our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer, Lord, the one that shed his blood to purchase us, to buy us back. And Lord, to put us into your fold. And today we are learning and growing in our faith towards you. And we're going to learn about applying the blood, Lord. And I pray that you'll speak so deeply to each one of us that we simply can't go out those doors the same way that we came in. We have a better understanding. We have more encouragement. We have a better faith, stronger faith towards you and less in ourself and our own ability, Lord. But we're relying 100% on you and the blood that you shed for us to make us right with you, Lord. We praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Amen. So one takeaway that you'll get from today, out of all the things that you're going to leave with, I'm going to tell you right up front, so if you miss the rest of it, you're tired, you had a rough night, whatever, that you'll get this. The one thing to take away is, please apply the blood. Apply the blood of Jesus. Don't just know about it. Don't just think about it. But actually apply it to your life. Because we've all heard this. We've all heard of Jesus Christ, right? We wouldn't be here if we hadn't. Even people, if today was the first time they had been in church, you know, their friend had invited them kind of thing. And if you're listening to this online or wherever, and that's you, even people that aren't church-going people have heard of Jesus Christ. Okay, we've all heard that he was born of a virgin, that he lived the sinless life, right? We've heard that. We just sang songs along that line this morning. We know that he lived that perfect and sinless life. He fulfilled the law of God. We know that he was crucified. Okay, he was literally hung on a cross until dead, and then he was placed into a tomb. And today we recall and we rejoice that the fact is he didn't stay in the tomb, right? He rose from the dead and came out from the tomb. Okay, we celebrate that he literally rose from the dead, that he conquered sin and death, and that now he is offered not only the forgiveness of sins, not only our entrance into heaven. Okay, you got to be as holy as God, so to speak, to get into heaven. You can't get to the gate and he's going to say, well, I guess I'll let you in with these sins. It doesn't work that way. You've got to get there at that point with your sins being washed clean. That's what Jesus did. But not only that, he also gave us then the freedom from guilt and condemnation in this life so that we can live and experience the abundant life that he wanted for us to live. Okay, these things we know. Okay, these are things that have literally been proven by scientists, by historians, by intellectual scholars, you know, that get in and they're going to study and learn these things, the investigators, even atheists will confirm these things, like Lee Strobel did. He was an atheist when he began his quest to disprove Christianity, and he ended up becoming one of the greatest advocates of Christianity because he simply could not disprove it, but he was disproved and his theories were found not to be accurate. And then also, of course, biblical scholars today have done their studies and research, and we know from all that that these things literally did occur. Jesus literally did live, was crucified, and then rose from the dead. There's enough evidence to prove these things. We know that these things happened just as God said. For thousands of years, if you've got a Bible, it's got an Old Testament in it, and you can read in there, throughout that, there's things that are pointing to this is exactly what God said was going to happen. The virgin birth and the place where he was born, the no bones being broken, that his blood would be poured out. All these things were said that this was the way it was going to happen. They prophesied that he would be hung on a tree on a cross about 1,000 years before they ever even used one. Okay, as a way of punishment. So it was so foretold by God that it was profound at the time. Okay, but just to know all these things, even if they're proven statistically or factually or whatever, just to know them all is not enough without actually applying that knowledge. Okay, you have to apply what you know in order for it to do you some good. Okay, now God has given us a tremendous gift in Jesus Christ. Everybody agree with that? Okay, it's a beautiful, wonderful gift, something that we couldn't have earned. We couldn't make it happen, and He provides this gift. But let's say if someone were to give you a different kind of gift, let's say a major gift, like they decide, I know these guys are looking for a truck. Somebody decides they're going to bless them with a brand spanking new Duramax, big old Poland truck, right? Brand new. And the only stipulation that they said was, we want you to take care of it. We want you to keep it shiny, make it look nice, because our name, you know, whoever gives it to you, my name is kind of attached to that because I'm the one giving it to you. So the only thing is, I want you to make it look nice and keep it nice because it's going to be better for both of us, you know, in the long run. Okay, and so as you go to this new truck and you open up the door, inside you find a lifetime supply of wax. Okay, they want you to wax it and keep it looking shiny. Now, if you take that wax out of the truck, put it on a shelf somewhere, never wash the truck, never wax the truck, you've got exactly what you need to keep it looking nice. But if you don't apply it, if you don't apply that wax, it doesn't do you any good. It won't keep it looking nice. It won't fulfill what that owner, you know, the one that gave it to you, wanted. Another example would be financial stuff. If you have accrued an enormous debt, so much that there's no possible way that you can even fathom being able to pay it off in your entire lifetime. Every if you took a year's salary year after year and put it towards it with inflation and all the stuff, you would never ever get it paid off. And somebody blesses you with a gift and they say, I'm going to give you more than enough to pay off that debt. But if you don't apply the money that they give you to that debt, it does you no good. Okay, it doesn't pay off the debt. Okay, now that's the blessing. That's the gift that we have been given. Okay, what we're celebrating today is the greatest gift that God could give. And that's why I asked, is Jesus a gift? Absolutely, He is. He's given us this great gift of eternal life. Okay, God has given it to us, and then He gave us everything that we would need to be able to take care of it or to receive it and apply what He has given to our life. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, and then He allowed His life to be taken and His blood to be shed so that we could have all the provision, so that we could have all the things that we need. The Bible says that all things that pertain unto life and godliness were given to us in Jesus Christ. We have access to everything that we need. So we rejoice today because God has provided the payment for that life-crushing debt of sin. He provided the payment for that. It's such an enormous debt that we literally had no capacity or no ability to pay it off ever on our own. And yet that payment is exactly what God gave us in the form of Jesus Christ through His cleansing blood. But the reality is that we have to apply the blood of Jesus in order for it to do us any good. Jesus' blood was shed, truth, absolutely. But if we don't apply it to our life, it still does us no good. Okay, John 3:16. Many of you know this one by heart. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we continue on reading because it says, but God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here's the gift that's been given, and whether you receive it and apply it to your life is up to you, but it makes a big difference. It makes a life or eternal life difference in the life of a person. 1 John 4:9 is similar to this, but he said, in this was magnified the love of God towards us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Okay, the gospel message is a simple one. It's really not complicated. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's a simple message. But one of the things that gets left out of that, one of the key elements that must be present in that believing is to actually receive the deliverance, to receive the deliverance from the consequence of sin in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, God has given us detailed instructions on how to apply what He has given to us so that we can not only spend eternity with Him, but we can live a blessed and peaceful and abundant life now on earth. Okay, and I'm not talking about the whole Bible in its entirety. This is an instruction book, okay, howbeit somewhat complicated, okay, but the instructions that He gave us on how to apply the blood were very simple. It's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and apply that shed blood. That means we need to know what that stands for. Okay, we simply have to believe, receive, and follow the instructions and apply the blood of the Lamb. Okay, hang with me. You'll get this by the time I know you will. Ever since God created mankind, okay, from the very beginning, He has accepted the life of one to be spared when the life of another was taken. Okay? And it's a profound thing that began all the way back to Adam and Eve. Okay, you remember when Adam and Eve, one of the original sin, we call it the fall of man, all that kind of stuff. But when they originally had fallen and they sinned, what did they do? Immediately it says they saw their nakedness and they were ashamed. Okay, they had sinned, they knew it, and they felt ashamed. Okay, so what did they do? Man took it into their own hands and they made themselves aprons out of fig leaves, right? That's what the Bible tells us. But the Bible goes on to say that that wasn't sufficient. There was no blood had been shed. Okay, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. God knew that was going to be in there too, so He had to hold it from the very beginning of Adam and Eve on up. So it says God literally made them coats of skins. In other words, He sacrificed an animal. Blood was shed in order to give them a covering that would satisfy the wrath of God, that would satisfy or keep that from coming on them. That was the only way that they were going to be able to live from that and not have to suffer the consequence of it in that particular way. Sorry about that. So God's word says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So blood literally had to be shed in order to provide a protective covering for their sin, in order for God not to just take them out of the picture. He brought them in. He could take them out, right? So in order for Him not to have to do that, it was a substitutionary death took place. In other words, the one that had committed the crime wasn't the one that paid for it. Somebody else willingly or was had their blood shed for the one that had sinned. Okay, this is why Jesus said that He was choosing to lay down His life for you and I. Okay? It's why He said, I will lay down my life for the sheep. It's why He said in John 15:13, He said, greater love has no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Then He goes on to pretty much name each one of you and I as His friends. Okay, saying, I am laying down my life for my friends. Henceforth, you are not, you know, servants, but you are my friends. And He literally tells us that He is doing it for us. You know, one of the greatest examples ever of the applying of the blood that's necessary for us to be delivered or to accomplish what God intended for that shedding of blood to be is the description of the Passover. And that's why I was going to share that with you this morning. If you remember how that story goes, okay, the people of God had been enslaved to the Egyptians for centuries, right? A long, long time. They've been in this bondage that's represented the law. They were bound by that. They were solid in it. They were in it for many, many years. Probably generationally would have been very difficult to even convince people they needed to be delivered from it. And yet that was the case that God was using, speaking through Moses and Aaron, and helping them to see the need and to desire and want to be set free. And then God used Moses and Aaron, speaks to Pharaoh. Moses and Aaron speaks to Pharaoh, okay, and goes to them and says, you need to let the people of God go. Okay, you guys all heard that song when you're a kid? Let my people go. It's a fun little song. But God was speaking through Moses, telling him to do this. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Okay, plagues had been released and come upon his people, and boils and the locusts, all these different things had been unleashed on Pharaoh and his people, and the people of God were being spared from that up to this point. But one final judgment, God says, enough is enough. He finally gets to the point, we need to get this done. My people need to be delivered. We're not going to give any more chances here. And so he comes up with one final plague, one final judgment that's going to smite the firstborn of everyone that does not follow his instruction. Okay. In other words, he's going to smite the firstborn. Everybody's going to pay a price if they don't believe God and what he says to do. Okay, now this is what happens today, is so many people hear about God. They know that God has, God has a plan. Maybe God sent Jesus, but they don't actually apply that personally to them. They think that, well, God did it generally for all. But here's a case where it's not going to be based on what somebody else does. It's based on what you do or not do. That's the only thing that is going to keep them from the wrath of God that is going to come. So in Exodus 12, it gives a pretty good description, more detail than I'm giving you this morning. But essentially, it goes like this. God tells the people that he would deliver them from their oppressor. Okay? I'm going to deliver you from your oppressor. Right? And he speaks to Moses and Aaron and says, go and tell the people these things. And then he gives them the instructions on what they need to do, what they should follow in order to get this deliverance. But it starts out with one of the first things they go and that he tells them is in Exodus 12, 1 and 2. It says, the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, when I first read that, I thought, that's kind of odd. What exactly does that mean? What it really means is that this was going to be such a significant event for those that followed the instruction, it would literally change their lives forever. And it literally changed the Hebrew calendar on this day of the Passover. From that point on, that became the beginning of months for them. It changed the Hebrew calendar. That was significant. Imagine today, somebody comes to you and says, hey, today's not April 16th. I don't know what you're thinking. Today's January 1st. We're starting today. And it changed the entire... Think of the impact of that in the entire world if that were to happen. That's what was happening here. So God starts out when he's going to give instructions to Moses and Aaron, tell the people this is what's going to happen. He starts out by saying, this is going to be the beginning of days. That's how significant what is about to happen is going to happen. So God tells the people to take an unblemished lamb, okay? No spots, no, you know, missing teeth kind of thing. Don't get your old, goat and cull your herd a little bit and get the old straggly one. He says, go get an unblemished lamb, okay? And it could be either a sheep or a goat, according to the word that lamb, what it meant. And so he says, go get one of the first yearlings, basically in the prime of its life, so to speak. Now, with some ranching stuff going on and growing up farming and ranching, we know about yearlings, okay? Yearlings are the prime one. That's what you're going to get your money out of. That's when you're buying a bull. You try to buy a yearling or a two-year-old. They're in the prime of their life, okay? And that's the similar thing that God says to them. Go find an unblemished lamb in the first year of the lamb, basically in the prime of its life. And I want you to apply the blood to the sides and to the top of your door. But what he tells them, and this is what I alluded to at the beginning of the service, he tells them, go and get a lamb on the 10th. And on the 14th, 3 days later, you're going to do something with that lamb. So basically he tells them, behold the lamb for 3 days in faith. And on that third day, something significant is going to happen. And then he tells them, on the third day, I want you to apply the blood of the lamb. I want you to take its life, okay, and apply the blood to the sides and the top of their dwelling. Okay, the blood of the unblemished lamb was shed, and it was applied to deliver God's people, not because they were going to do everything right. They hadn't lived perfect lives up to that point, but they were delivered because they did the one thing that was necessary, and that was to apply the blood of the Lamb. They simply applied that blood. That's what was going to deliver them. So as the judgment of God was released throughout the land, the Spirit of God was going to pass by each individual house, and when it saw the blood on the entrance to the dwelling, it would pass over that house. That's where Passover comes from. It would pass over that house and look at the next one. If it had the blood, it would just pass over to the next one. If it didn't have the blood, it would enter that dwelling and people would perish. Right? So that's the Passover. That's what God was implementing. Okay? Exodus 12:13 describes that. It says, "The blood shall be to you for a token or a sign upon the houses wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." So they were to follow these instructions of God exactly like God had given them to them. They couldn't say, "Well, I know God said that, but it's really not going to happen that way. I think I'll just go about living my life the way that I want to do it and just see what happens." How many people live that way today? You know, "Yeah, I kind of believe in God. Yeah, God might have said that, but I'm just going to kind of play it out, see where things end up." I mean, when you're dead, right? They don't see the eternity in heaven or hell kind of thing. Okay, but God said that it was to be a lamb for every house. That's what he told them. "Take you one lamb, unblemished lamb of the first year for every house." Okay, meaning that it involved an individual faith. In other words, the neighbors on this side could do it, and the neighbors on this side could do it, but that wasn't going to spare you, right? It was still required of you to do it too. The Spirit of Judgment searched each individual dwelling to see if they had done that one thing that was necessary. And that's all it was looking for, is the blood of the Lamb applied to this house. Okay, so the blood was applied to the sides and the top. It was something that was easily visible, so that when God finally said, "Deliverance is done because of what you did," and Pharaoh says, "Let my people go," and the people are delivered, when they walk through that door, they're well aware it was this blood alone that just spared me. It was this blood alone. There was no putting the blood on the door frame on the bottom. They didn't put it down there because you don't trample on the blood of the Lamb. That's what God didn't want them to do. He was sending a message to them. The scripture says again that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, right? So it is in the same way that the blood of that Lamb was slain thousands of years ago for those that obeyed God's plan and applied the blood. It is that way today. You have to apply the blood of Jesus. For us today, applying the blood of Jesus to our life is such a significant event that it literally starts your calendar over. Do you guys see that? You're born of the Spirit. You're born again. You begin that new creation life by the significance. That's how powerful that is. When we believed, we began over. We started over with our calendar, literally starting over again. Okay, that's just from applying the blood of the Lamb. Just like God told them to behold the Lamb by faith for 3 days, you know, waiting for the exact time to apply the blood, so we are told by Jesus that he would be crucified, and on the third day he would rise again. That significant event would happen. Today is that day of resurrection. That's what we're celebrating today, is that third day moment when now these things happen. It's the day of applying the blood for anybody who hasn't. Today is that day to do that. So we apply the blood of the Lamb to the top and the sides of the entrance of our life, meaning in our mind, in our heart. We apply that blood so that every time that we enter into anything we do, we're constantly reminded of the blood that was shed on our behalf, that Jesus Christ shed his blood for us. Okay, we never want to trample under our feet the sacrifice that Jesus Christ did for us. He gave his life so that we could be spared. The life of one innocent was shed, blood, so that we could be spared. And as that Spirit of God's judgment is released even today, it literally passes from one individual to another to see who has applied the blood. Okay, that's the only thing that will spare us from that wrath of God. Okay, It passes on when it sees the blood of the Lamb. It passes on by. They do not perish, but they have everlasting life. That's the significance. So just like the original Passover, it's not enough for you just to know someone that has applied the blood. It's not enough for you just to have a friend or a family member to have applied the blood in their life, but you must apply it to your life as well. In other words, it involves that personal decision. Will you apply the blood of the Lamb to your life? When John the Baptist saw Jesus for the first time, as we close this out, he immediately recognized the significance of who Jesus was in relation to this whole Passover story and all the things that were coming. And when he sees him in John 1:29, it says, "The next day John sees him coming, Jesus coming unto him, and he says, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.'" That was the significance John immediately recognized with the Son of God. And it's that same significance that we want to recognize when we behold the Lamb of God. We see Jesus as who He is, as our Deliverer, as the one whose blood was shed, that when that Spirit comes by, it sees the blood and passes on by us. We don't partake of the wrath of God, but the everlasting life of God that was given to us through His Son and that shed blood that He shed for us. So we believe by faith in the plan and the will of God, and then we simply follow that one instruction, which was to apply the blood, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we would be saved. Amen. Amen. I think I'll go with that. Father God, we praise You this morning. We're grateful for Your plan, Lord. This isn't something we made up. It's not something that we're trying to find or make up on our own, Lord, but we receive it. We see it. It's in Your Word. It's in the Scripture. It's in Your Holy Bible that You've given unto us, Lord, and we can see it and know and receive it as Your plan. That, Lord, You decided that the blood of Your Son was going to be it. That would be enough. No matter what would come our way, no matter what sins we had done up to that point, no matter what kind of a life we had lived, that, Father, the application of Your Son's blood would be enough to spare us from all the wrath, condemnation, and judgment. Father, that Your blood is what is protecting us. It was shed to give us a covering for that sin, so that when You look on us, You see the blood and You pass on by. You allow us to then live because of that life that we now have in freedom, to live the life that You called us to live the life of the true believer that does pass through that door, that passes through and enters into the life that You have called for us to live, Lord. We're grateful, thankful, Lord. Today we celebrate and recognize the resurrection that You have fulfilled, that You have completed on our behalf. And Lord, we're grateful for all the things that led up to that moment, all the things that led up to that as You endured on our behalf, Lord, bearing all of our sins and all of our iniquities and taking it all upon You so that we could be free. We thank You for laying down Your life for us that we can now be spared. And Father, we praise You for these things in the name of Your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Your Son and our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.